To many Christians, any discussion of the law of Christian obligation strikes them as legalistic and even unloving. There's a view that rules and commandments are oppressive. After all, they kill the spirit of joy and freedom that we have in Christ, and they should have no place in Christianity. Aren't we free from the law in Christ? Question mark. But the New Testament in general, and Jesus in particular, rejects that kind of thinking. And Jesus calls upon his followers, his disciples, believers, to obey his commandments, and teaches in our passage this morning that obedience is the mark of love for him. God's call has always been that his people love him. In fact, Deuteronomy 6:4, where we have what's called the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." We looked at this previously. The very next phrase in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is that we are to love him, the Lord our God. And we're to do so with all of our being. This is a theme that we see repeated throughout Scripture. The living God is our God, and we are his covenant people. He has redeemed us and made us his own, and we are to love him and keep his commandments. Love for God and obedience to him are tied together. You cannot have one without the other. The words of Jesus in verse 15 are actually a phrase from the Ten Commandments. So in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, we read this: "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." Loving God inevitably leads to obeying God. And our love for God is a result of his love for us. Moses speaks to this, speaking to Israel in Deuteronomy 7. He says, "The Lord did not set his love on you," and the "you" is Israel, the people of God in front of him, "nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the peoples, but because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." John says very clearly in 1 John 4:19, our love for God is a response to God's love for us. "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. We love him because he first loved us." Well, a generation after Moses, Joshua also challenged Israel. Joshua 22:5, "Take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Jesus' statement then that we have here in John 14, 15 is not a novel or new doctrine. It has been the teaching to the people of God since Moses. God's people will love him and obey him. There is something, however, interesting and different in the words of Jesus, and perhaps you noticed it. Instead of loving God, Jesus speaks of loving him. If you love me, he says, not God, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Another subtle assertion of his deity. As you love God and keep his commandments, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The scriptures call upon us to love God with all of our being and to keep his commandments. And Jesus says, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. This makes sense to us because Jesus has said many times that he and the Father are one. One in being, one in mind, one in purpose. So to love and to obey him is to love and obey the Father. Jesus' statement in verse 15 is a conditional one. I won't get into the technical nature of all of this, but there are rules that Jesus follows in what he says. If you love me, or actually, more literally, it's present tense, ongoing, if you are loving me, and the way he expresses this, this may or may not be true. But if you are loving me, you will keep my commandments, which is definitely true. You cannot love Christ without seeking to obey him. Many claim love for Christ, but they ignore his will, his commandments, and go and live their lives as they would. But Jesus says, if you love Christ your Savior, your Lord, you will obey him. You will seek to keep his commandments. His desire becomes your desire. A woman may work in a bakery and bake apple pies. After a while, it becomes work. It becomes routine, perhaps even uninspiring and oppressive. But take a bride who truly loves her husband, and she learns that he has a fondness for apple pie, which she's never made. We all know that such a bride would leave no stone unturned in learning how to bake an apple pie. And then she would bake one for him, the best of her ability. And it's not mere work for her, but rather it is an act of love. For the Christian, obedience to Christ is not work. It is not an obligation, but rather it is an act of love. Many seek to earn a right standing before God by their works, by keeping the law, by keeping the Ten Commandments, or the golden rule, however they might express it. And there might be genuine efforts to keep God's commandments. But it's always paddling upstream, if you will. It's unenjoyable work. It's drudgery. It's an obligation. It's motivated out of fear of judgment. And often, usually ends in frustration, discouragement, and failure. But those who love the Lord rejoice in His sacrifice on Calvary, enjoying the love and favor of Christ in their lives, will rather long to obey Him, to please Him. An obedience that becomes an act of love. Jesus' words are, those that love Him will respond desiring to obey Him. They do raise questions for us, though. Do you love the Savior? Do you esteem Jesus above everything else? Do you desire above everything that Jesus be glorified and exalted? So Jesus says there's a test. There's a way of knowing if you really love Christ. Are you keeping His commandments? That's the test. Well, what does Jesus mean when He says commandments? A few weeks ago, we looked at John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This would be one of Christ's commandments. And He uses here the same word for commandment as He does in our text, John 14, 15. He also uses the same word commandment when He refers to the Ten Commandments. It's a word that Paul uses when he speaks of the Mosaic Law. This word commandment means that which is demanded, that which is charged or enjoined upon another. Because we love Christ, we love what He has charged us to do. And to love His commandments is to desire to keep them. So the psalmist writes, Psalm 119, 47, he says, "I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes." We could add, "which I love." You see, because we know Christ, we know what He did to make us His disciples, to redeem us, as He left heaven and became a man and a servant, and then suffered the ridicule and rejection of His own people and the cruel death of crucifixion, where He became, as we read earlier, a propitiation for our sins. He endured the wrath of God in judgment for our sins, that we might be redeemed and saved. Because of the nature of Christ, who is truth and light and righteous and good, we know that His commandments, that which He instructs us to do, they are truth and righteous and good. As the Proverbs puts it, indeed they are better than gold. And so we cherish them. We delight in them. And we seek to keep them. There's a phrase from one of the prayers in the Book of Common Prayer. It says in this prayer, "Make me love what you have commanded." I really like that. That should be our prayer. Lord, make me love what you have commanded me to do. And as we realize his commandments come from a loving Lord and sovereign King whom we love and cherish, we will come to love his commandments, even when we do not understand them, even when we don't like them. We know they come from a loving Lord that loved us and gave himself for us. There is an interesting contrast here between Christ and Moses. As we read the Mosaic Law, again and again there are warnings against disobedience. So in Deuteronomy 28 we read, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." And there follows verse after verse of warnings and of curses that will come upon the people of Israel if they fail to obey and to keep God's commandments. And by the way, this is not just in this passage in Deuteronomy. It's repeated again and again, even by the prophets. But Christ calls us to obedience, not to avoid punishment, but simply out of love. Now, some of you might think of Hebrews chapter 12, where there's a warning of God's chastening and discipline if there's disobedience. But it's interesting in this text, we are, of Hebrews, we're carefully told that, yes, there is discipline, but it's the discipline of a loving Father, not of a wrathful God. And he goes on in Hebrews to compare the fire and the thunder of Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, they couldn't even touch the mountain or they would die. And there's a comparison in Hebrews between Mount Sinai to Mount Zion, to Christ, the mediator of a new covenant and the sprinkling of his blood that secures it. It is out of love for Christ that we keep his commandments. The proof of our love for God is not in knowing about him. It's not in knowing his word, facts, even in knowing his commandments and having them memorized, but in the doing of them, in obedience to our King. One of Jesus' most popular stories is that of the wise man. He built his house on the rock, and the rains came and the floods rose, and that house on the rock stood firm. And then Jesus says, in contrast, there's the foolish man. The foolish man built his house on sand. And when the rains came and the winds blew and the floods rose, the house collapsed. Jesus' comment was that whoever heard his words and kept them was like the wise man building a house upon the rock. What does it mean to keep Christ's commandments? Verse 21 of chapter 14 may help us, as there Jesus says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." We need a knowledge of the holy. We need to have his commandments. So we need to read the scriptures. We need to study and have an understanding of the Word of God. But then, we need to keep them. We need to follow them. The word keep is a word that simply means to observe or protect. We could express it simply as to obey. Christ, our King, gives a command. The disciple obeys the command. He keeps the commander's word. Paul reminds us that this is the duty of every servant of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We could say obedient. Doing what he has been told. James drives this home as well in chapter 2, verses 14. Following, he says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Our love for Christ drives us, compels us to obey him. It can be no other way. True faith, genuine faith, obeys the Lord. In verse 21, Jesus, interestingly enough, inverts his statement from verse 15. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. So it's not a conditional statement like verse 15 was. And then, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Augustine describes this disciple of Christ as one who hath them orally. He has the commands orally and keepeth them morally, he says. In verse 21, Jesus states that loving obedience to Christ yields three benefits. Love from the Father. We might say God's smiling providence upon us. Because as John writes, we love him because he first loved us. So the Father's love precedes our love for him. It precedes our obedience. God initiates spiritual life and vitality. And as a result of that, we love him and we obey him. And God responds to our love and our obedience with greater love and blessing. It's a circle, if you will, but it's initiated and started by God. Number two, Jesus says, love from Christ. The same can be said about Christ's love for us. Interestingly enough, in Romans 8, Paul speaks about this. And he says that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And again, the Father and the Son are in perfect harmony in what they do. In their work, in their will, and their desires. There's never any tension. There's never any difference between them. And then Jesus says he will manifest himself to them, which touches on the work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus goes on to discuss this, and Lord willing, we'll look at that next week. The worry that intrudes upon our minds is that we struggle to truly love Christ, and we know that we do not keep His commandments. We know that we sin. We know that we fail to be what God has called us to be. We do love Him, and we own Him as our King. But there are some things that we really love in the world as well, aren't there? They're not bad things even. But when we put them, good things, when we put them above God, they become then sinful things. Because we are loving them more than God. If we love Christ and His commandments, which are good, we place the Lord and His commandments above everything, even good things, even life itself. Perhaps this is preaching to the choir, because you are here. But let me illustrate this with the church. The scriptures are clear about the importance and priority of the gathered church, the people of God. There are many commands in scripture in the New Testament regarding this. So in Hebrews chapter 10, we are instructed to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We're not to be absent from worship. The Ten Commandments state that we're to give God one day out of seven. It's interesting, by the way, this is an aside, but Exodus chapter 20, the listing of the Ten Commandments, it doesn't say to keep Saturday holy. It says to keep the Sabbath holy. And then it goes on to explain that God requires one day out of seven. Under the old covenant, that was the seventh day, Saturday. Under the new covenant, it's the first day, Sunday, which the book of Revelation calls the Lord's Day. So here's an example and application of Jesus' words. If you love me, you will keep the Lord's Day holy. Exodus 20, one day out of seven. You will not forsake the assembly of the church on the first day of the week. Acts 20, verse 7. Number two, if you love me, you will serve one another and encourage one another in the things of the Lord. That's Hebrews 10, 24. Number three, if you love me, you will also love one another. Even when someone is difficult, submitting to one another, you will serve one another. That's Ephesians 5:21. If you love me, you will yield your rights, your liberties, your freedoms, when necessary, to keep another brother or sister in Christ from falling into sin. You will yield those rights to preserve Christian unity. That's Romans 14:21. If you love me, you will give cheerfully to the work of the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 9:7. If you love me, you will sing God's praises. That's Ephesians 5:19. And I could go on. These are all commands from Christ regarding the Lord's Day and worship. And there are many more. What Jesus says is that if you truly love Him, you will do these things. Your heart's desire and delight will be to obey your Savior and your king. Well, suppose that you know that you are to do these things, but you don't really desire to. Two suggestions. One is, pray about it. Pray that the Lord will change your affections and your desires and your heart. That your heart will conform to what Christ commands. Number two, obey anyway. Knowing you obey, knowing that this is what Christ wants you to do. And you obey knowing that this is what your Lord wants, and you keep obeying, and then eventually, as God works in your heart and your life, that delight in obeying Him will come. Seek to be faithful, in other words, even if the desire is not there, because you love the Master. Perhaps you really want to obey Christ, but you slip up when something else comes along. And then you need to simply exercise discipline. And as Christians, we need to discipline ourselves. We need to set priorities. I'm tired doesn't excuse disobedience. The Lord's Day services are never a surprise. They come every week on Sunday, the Lord's Day, at the same time every week. And anything that would hinder you from obedience in this needs to be pruned from your life. Severe illness accepted. Well, the point is this. As professing Christians, you need to take the words of Christ seriously. If you do love your Lord, your Redeemer, your Savior, if you truly love Him who loved you and gave Himself for you, then you will do whatever it takes so that you will keep His commandments. Obedience is the mark of love for Christ. Shall we pray?